All right, so as if you haven't been to one of our family services, like we said, all the kids are in here. We also try to make these a little bit shorter, so it'll be a little bit shorter of a service this morning. And, you know, we're just going to talk a little bit about going into the new year. I mean, can you believe that 2019 is pretty much over? I mean, it's crazy. And 2020 is here. A new decade. It's going to be weird to say 2020, isn't it? I mean, maybe it's just me, but hopefully you're ready to jump into the new year. And some of us are like, man, I'm ready for 2019 to be over, right? We're like Oklahoma fans going like, man, just let's forget about everything that's happened. Sorry if you're sooner out there. But actually, that game is a good picture of what it's like for a lot of us. Like, you know, if you don't watch college football, Oklahoma got absolutely blown out by LSU last night. And it was pretty much over in the first quarter. And so LSU fans are like, man, this is great. Like, you're on top of the world, right? And there's some of us in here where 2019, I mean, it was like a banner year. It was awesome. You'd be like, let's keep this going. And then there's some of us in here like Oklahoma, like, just get me off the field, man. Like, let's just end this thing now and leave 2019 behind and let's step into something new, right? And the beautiful thing is God always gives us second chances. He always gives us a chance to start over. And the reality is, whether it's been a great year, whether it's been a difficult year with a lot of pain and struggle, he's always with us as we walk through it. Amen? So I don't know exactly what God has in store for us in the new year for each of us, but the one thing I do know is that whatever comes our way, if we're walking with him, we'll be able to face what comes our way. We'll make it through whatever it is that comes our way. And he can even give us peace and joy in the midst of it if we draw near to him. And you know, like I said earlier when I was just praying over the offering, we should not forget just how blessed we are. Even if we've had a difficult time recently, even if we've faced a lot of struggles, I think each of us can look and see there's something that God has blessed us with, and we can look at him working in some way in our lives, even through some of that pain and some of that struggle. And actually, coming out of the Christmas holiday, that's really what it's all about, right? We've talked about God being with us, Emmanuel, the God who is present. So he's with us and he walks with us through whatever we might face. And so we're never alone. And it's amazing to me that he would choose to come the way he did. And we talked about that for about 4 weeks here on Sunday mornings. But the fact that God chose to step out of heaven, step into our world, take on flesh, make that perfect sacrifice that only he could make for each one of us, it speaks to us about how much he loves us. And it also speaks to us about his desire to have an intimate relationship with us. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, because Jesus, the one who we look at as the baby in the manger, was fully God and fully human. And we can't forget that. See, it's the humanity of Jesus that helps us relate to God on an intimate level. You know, there's something for me about knowing that God came and that he walked this earth and that he faced many of the things that we face. The scripture says that he was tempted in every way, just as we're tempted, but he didn't give in to that temptation. But it speaks to me because it tells me that he knows our struggles. He knows what we're going through. And I think he not only knows it, but he sympathizes with us in the midst of it. He felt pain physically and emotionally. You realize that, right? I mean, Jesus felt pain, not just physically when he hung on the cross, but emotionally as well. When we see him on his face in the garden before he goes to the cross, I mean, it says that he's overwhelmed to the point of death. That's when he's praying and he's in anguish and he sweats blood. So, I mean, he experienced that emotional anguish that we experience at times. And I talked about it last week, but God could have chose, I mean, he's God. He could have chose any way he wanted to reconcile himself or to reconcile us back to himself. But he chose to come. And I'm convinced that's because because he loves us. And the reality is, sometimes life's hard. Anybody relate to that? And you're like, life been hard? Sometimes it's really hard. And it's in times when it's really hard that I'm thankful that God, in his humanity, can understand what I'm walking through. Do you remember the story in the Bible of Lazarus? Okay, so if you're new to coming to church, it's a story where Jesus' friend, his name's Lazarus, he dies. And he dies, and Jesus goes to be with his sisters. They call for Jesus. And when he comes to them, he actually raises Lazarus from the dead. The guy's been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, I'm not a big King James Bible guy. I confess that, so I'm sorry to some of you who are more old school. But this is one of the passages I like to read in the King James, because when Jesus goes to raise Lazarus from the dead, one of Lazarus' sisters going, "But Lord, he's been in the grave 4 days. Surely he stinketh." Yeah, it literally says that. He stinketh. So when you look back at 2019, maybe you're going, "Lord, this really stinketh." Or maybe you take it next level. "Lord, this really sucketh." Right? I mean, it's bad, right? I mean, but I love the King James there. And the thing is, with that story, there's so much more to it. It's not like Jesus just comes and he raises them from the dead. There's this moment where they turn to him and they're like, "If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." And so in their pain, in their emotional pain, in their emotional anguish, they basically are blaming Jesus. Like, "If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died." And it's in that moment that we find that real short verse in the Bible, right? It says, Jesus wept. And people are looking on, they're going, "See how much he loved them?" And he weeps because he sees them and he sees the pain that they're going through. And he knows that this broken world filled with sin, disease, and death brings that kind of pain. And then he heals him. But it's just one picture of God's humanity, Jesus' humanity, and him knowing what we go through and his heart breaking as our heart breaks at times. He weeps alongside those who he loves and knows. And I just think that's beautiful. And you know, we don't talk a lot about that. We don't talk about the emotional side of Jesus, but it's there when you read the scripture. Fully human, but fully God, facing the struggles that we face. So this morning, I want to talk about a passage that actually, when I was going through the series on John, we'll start that back up in a few weeks, but we looked at it in the book of John. Now we're going to look at it in the book of Matthew. It's a parallel passage, and it really speaks to us about the humanity of Jesus, and it gives us a little different perspective than what John gives us when we read through this story. But I'm going to give you a little context before we jump into the actual passage, all right? So Jesus, he hears about John the Baptist being put to death. John the Baptist was killed by King Herod, all right? Now, John the Baptist is not only a mighty prophet of God, he's the one who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He's the one who went before the Lord. He's not only a mighty prophet of God, he's actually related to Jesus, all right? So John the Baptist's mother is Mary's cousin, all right? So just understand, Jesus' friend and relative has just been killed. He's actually been brutally murdered, okay? So this has just happened. Jesus gets word of it, and then we pick it up in Matthew 14, and I'm just going to read the first couple verses here. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped out from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. All right, so Jesus' cousin has just been killed. He gets the news. What does he do? First, he gets in a boat and he just takes some time alone, right? Like he just needed a moment. He, being human, experienced real pain emotionally, was probably struggling in this moment, so he withdraws to a solitary place. And I mean, it's like what any of us would do, right? Something like that happens to your family, it affects you deeply, and it affected him deeply. Now, when he comes on shore, there's all these people. They've been following, and Now, if there was any time to be selfish, like this would be a moment where it'd be okay to be selfish, right? Like, I don't think anybody would have faulted Jesus if he just said, hey, it's been one of those days. We're going to have to pick this up tomorrow, right? Like, it would have been just fine. But that's not what happens. And what happens is Jesus, even in the midst of this difficult time personally and with his family, he takes time and he sees their need, and it says he heals the sick and he serves them. And then later he realizes they're hungry, and then this is where he feeds the 5,000. All right, so all these people, you know, needing Jesus in that moment, and even in the midst of his struggle, he meets their needs. He ministers to those around him. And I know it's easy to go, you know, well, this is Jesus, you know, he's God, he can do that. And that's true, but he was also a man, and he was a man with real feelings, okay? So we don't want to miss that. Like, this is still real pain that he's experiencing. Look at verses 22 to 24. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting the heavy waves. So Jesus, in the midst of his own personal struggle, he sees people in need, he meets their need, he ministers to them basically all day long. And when it's all over, he goes back and goes, all right, you guys go across. And he goes and he takes some time alone with the Father again. And I really think that this speaks to us that, you know, Jesus, although he was God, he was human. And so he was really experiencing some of the same struggles that we're experiencing. Now, being God, he could overcome that maybe a little bit quicker than us. I don't think many of us are going to go through something that difficult. We have a relative who's murdered, and we take a moment with God, then we're out ministering all day long, and it takes another moment. But he does show us kind of that perfection of what the perfect human would look like serving God. And so he takes this moment alone to be alone with God again, to be alone with the Father. He's just heard that his cousin was beheaded. I mean, he was brutally murdered by Herod. And so after feeding the 5,000, after serving, and now as we're told that the disciples are sent away and they're out on the lake, and now they're experiencing their own difficulty. So the storm kicks up and the winds are ripping through, and what does Jesus do next? Let's look at Matthew 14, verses 25 to 32. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them once, said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called out to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. The disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Now, again, this is all after Jesus having experienced this situation with his family member. He takes time alone with the Father. Then he ministers to people. He takes time alone with the Father again. And then he goes out and helps the disciples. And I just want to say this, if you're facing a difficult time, or maybe 2019 was a real, real difficult time, I just want to encourage you, keep pressing on. Know that God is with you. Know that he hasn't forgotten you. Know that even as you go through the struggle, he feels the pain. As we see in the story of Lazarus, he weeps with us when we weep, but he's there to give us strength to take a step into whatever is coming next. And we have to press on and leave 2019 or whatever it is that those things are that have been difficult for us, and step into whatever God has for us, whatever opportunity, and just to know that there's always hope with Jesus. So here he is, they're out in the middle of the lake, and the storm has kicked up, and Jesus comes out walking on the water, right? So first we see his humanity, the emotional maybe pain that he's feeling. Now we see divinity, because not everybody just walks on water, right? I mean, that's a pretty awesome special effect. I just love the idea of Jesus walks, and these guys are so freaked out. They're like, it's a ghost. And Jesus is like, no, it's me. He's like, don't be afraid. It says they were terrified. And he goes, take courage. I am here. Now, that's a word I want us to all hear, okay? Whether it's been a great 2019, whether it's been tough, whatever you're facing this morning, hear those words. Take courage. I am here. He's the God who is with us. He's the God who never leaves us. He's the God who steps out in the midst of the storm. These guys are in the midst of the raging waves and the winds, and he goes, take courage. It is me. And so at that moment, like, something happens to Peter. Like, Peter's like, man, if it's really you, then Lord, tell me to come to you. And what does Jesus do? He's like, come on. And Peter experiences something that no other human being besides Jesus has ever experienced. The text literally says Peter takes a step and he walks on the water, right? I mean, he has an opportunity to do something supernatural. Jesus invites them into something supernatural. And so Peter steps out and he walks on the water. Look at verse 29. Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, he's part of something that nobody else gets to experience. And Jesus invited him to do it. He said, come on. But here's the thing we don't want to miss. Peter's the only one in the boat who said, hey, if it's you, tell me to come. It wasn't like Jesus said, hey, any of you guys who want to come out, just come on, right? No, and Peter's like, if it's you, tell me to come. And Peter goes, or Jesus goes, all right, come on. And Peter takes a step. And you know all the other guys are going, dang, Peter's walking on water. Why did Peter get the opportunity to do that? He believed something in that moment. He believed if that was really Jesus, and he's the one who can calm a storm, man, he could even cause me to walk on water. And he did. And so I just want us to all hear that and go, listen, we want to be in a place where we can hear God, where God can prompt us. Like something, Peter didn't just come up with that on his own. I think there was some kind of prompting where, I mean, he's the only guy who steps up. Like, if it's you, tell me to come. And he does. And we want to be in that place where God can nudge us towards something that only can be accomplished with supernatural power, right? Like, Peter's not walking on water alone. In fact, we see what happens when he takes his eyes off of Jesus, right? What happens when he takes his eyes off Jesus? He sinks, right? And Jesus goes, oh, you have little faith. Which in that moment, you're going, oh, Peter, you have little faith, right? But then there's a part of me going, but Peter's the only dude who stepped out of the boat. Peter's the only guy ever to take a couple steps. I mean, yeah, he sunk, but he took a couple steps. See, I want to be in that place. And I hope you want to be in that place too. As we look at a new year and we look at that year, thinking we're going to follow God into this new year. We're going to follow wherever he leads. And are we in that place where it's like, you know what? Even if he tells me to step into something that's a little scary, will I trust him? Will I believe that he could put solid ground under a foot that looks like it's just stepping on something that everybody sinks on every day, that he could actually do something miraculous if I would just take that step of faith that he's leading me to. See, I want 2020 to be a year where wherever you're at today, wherever you're at in your spiritual walk, where I'm at in my spiritual walk, we're taking a step closer to Jesus. We're taking a step closer to him and taking a step further into his purposes for our lives. I want to experience something supernatural. Not for the fact of just, I want to experience something, cool and amazing, but there's nothing that makes you more fully alive or feel more fully alive than feeling like God's using you in a moment. Like, have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had an experience where maybe, and I've talked about this before, maybe you felt prompted to give someone a phone call or maybe shoot them a text and say, hey, I'm just praying for you today. And then all of a sudden you get a response and go, man, I was just thinking about you. Or you don't know how much I needed to hear that. You shared a verse with someone or you put something up even on Facebook or something like that. And then all of a sudden someone's like, man, you don't know, I needed to hear that today. And you're going, wow, like that didn't come from me. I just, you know, for whatever reason, I put that out there. And then God meets us in the midst of that. And to know that you're connected to something far greater than just, you know, stuff of this earth. Like God would use you and he would use me and he would use someone like Peter, just normal everyday people to do things that he wants to accomplish in this world. And to me, that is so cool. And that's what the church is all about. It's not about coming and sitting, hearing a message or singing together. It's about being together. It's about being his hands, his feet, being there when someone's struggling, man, being that person who is a shoulder that they could cry on, being the person who encourages someone to take that next step of faith. Maybe you're the one in need and you just need that person to be there for you. That's what the church is, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing when it's functioning the way that God desires for it to function. And so in the midst of the storm, Jesus walks out to them on the water. But here's the thing, and I'm really almost done, believe it or not. But here's the thing, like Peter, if you want to walk on water and you want to experience God's goodness in a way that is unexplainable outside of God, if you want to experience that, you got to step out of the boat, right? I mean, he's the only guy who had that opportunity of the 12 there because he stepped out of the boat. And so as we come into a new year, I want you to reflect on that. I want us to think about that. First of all, are we following God? Do we believe that he is the Christ who is Emmanuel, God with us? Are we walking with him? And as we walk with him, are we keeping our eyes on Jesus? Because when we take our eyes off of Jesus and the things of this world start pulling at us, it's just like them. They see the wind, the waves, and then he starts to sink. See, when we take our eyes off Jesus and we're focused on the things of this world, whether it's focusing too much on money or wealth or even on good things where family consumes us to the point where we take our eyes off what the Lord wants to do in our lives, it's really easy to just be like earthbound by the way that we're functioning and just living. And God's saying, look to me. Trust me, let me lead you, let me guide you, let me help you make those decisions. The best decision for the way that you should use the blessing and the wealth that he's given you. The best decision as a family and how you should use your time. And that's what God wants to do in this new year. Levi, you guys can come back up. I'm going to wrap up here in just a second. So I believe the Lord is inviting us all to take steps toward him. I don't know what that step looks like for you. That's something between you and God. All I know is I have room to grow in my relationship with God, and you have room to grow in your relationship with God. And so what I'm asking us is, would we commit to saying, God, I want to grow. I want to take a step toward you. Will you show me? Will you lead me? And then give me the faith to do whatever it is that you want me to do. To take that step out of the boat. Sometimes steps of faith are scary. Particularly if there's a storm raging around you, right? But remember, he's like, listen, it's me. I'm here. Take courage. I'm with you. I love you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll even do supernatural things to help you through if you let me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We have communion on either side of the stage and in the back. If you desire to take a moment and just be alone with God, maybe have a time with your family and pray, communion is available there to just remember what Jesus has done, his body broken, his blood that was shed for us so that we might have life and we might have this relationship with him. Please do that if you feel led. But what I want us all to do is just take a moment. I want to pray for us. And then I want us to worship as we sing this last song. And just listen, okay? Take a moment to listen. What is God saying to you? What does God want from you? How is God leading you? And let's surrender to that, okay? Let's pray. God, I pray for all of us in this room. Lord, it's my hope that we all desire to be a little closer to you. Lord, it's my hope that we would all desire to take that next step of faith, whatever it is, and to draw near to you. And God, I want to see you work in and through my life. I want to see you do things that only you can do. Lord, I pray that we'd be connected to you in a way that we can speak to you just like this, wherever we're at. You came so that we could have an intimate relationship with you. In your coming and taking on human flesh, it was you saying, I love you. I'll always be with you. I'll lead you and guide you. Just keep your eyes on me. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. If we're facing a storm today, Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Lord, if we're experiencing incredible victory and great joy as a result, Lord, help us to not take credit for that, but to keep our eyes on you. God, if we are believing for something, there's something that we desperately need, God, help us to keep our eyes on you and know that you're with us, that you won't leave us and that you won't forsake us. Encourage our hearts, I pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's worship together through song. If you need prayer, there'll be some of us up here. We'd love to pray for you.